here we are at the beginning of a new month, and a month which in the Vatican traditionally sees 2 days off, November 1st and 2nd, All Saints and All Souls. All Souls used to also be a holiday in Italy, but not too many years ago they got rid of that holiday. They do keep November 1st, All Saints. And it's very interesting because you and I know from living here for many years, the Italians create. It's not that they take advantage of it. They create what is called ponte, a bridge,
that's right.
So that, let's say you don't work on weekends, Saturday and Sunday. There's a holiday coming up on Tuesday. Well, naturally, you're going to take Monday off of work. You create this bridge between a holiday weekend and a holiday Tuesday. And then, of course,
so many people were away over that last
week. Oh, yeah. Weekend. And as you could see in Rome, I mean, Rome was just filled absolutely to the gills with tourists and hard to get in restaurants. And I saw some of the lines going into St. Peter's Basilica that were mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. They went all the way around, literally around the square in a circular form by the colonnades, then went back in the middle of the square, you know, just
doubling over.
It was just absolutely incredible. So, but the weather has also, knock on wood, up to this point, been very, very lovely. So actually the week was marked by two Angeluses. We had the normal Sunday Angelus, at which the Pope, among other things, expressed his closeness to the people of Thailand, who've suffered very serious floods, and then for the people of the Italian regions of Liguria and Tuscany. So we're talking central and northern Italy, and they've also been affected by torrential rain, and the Pope assured all the people who are suffering of his prayers. I think as we speak now, they're predicting torrential rains again in part of those areas. I mean, gosh, you look at the U.S. with unseasonable
snowstorms
I know,
knocking
out power and everything else. So
crazy weather these days. Well, also on Monday, I know that the Pope met with the ambassador of Brazil, and he thanked the ambassador for Brazil's willingness to host the 2013 World Youth Day there in Rio de Janeiro.
Right. As a matter of fact, I think we know from our report on the World Youth Day in Madrid that normally the world, under Benedict anyway, the World Youth Days are now occurring at the international ones at 3-year intervals. However, which would have brought, you know, the Brazil one to 2014, but they're also hosting, if I'm not mistaken, the World Cup in 2014. So to have imposed millions of people on two different occasions during the same year on Brazil, they decided to hold it a year earlier. And it's very interesting. The Pope did talk about the very long history of diplomatic ties between Holy See and Brazil, and they were established actually shortly after the country's independence in 1822. So, I mean, we're very close to 200 years there. And the Pope talked about the influence of the church, noting the many cities named after saints. We have a lot of that in the United States, too. Many, many cities named after saints. And then the monuments, he said, some of which symbolize, of course, the country throughout the world, such as the Statue of the Redeemer in Corcovado in Rio de Janeiro. Then the Pope referred to something more recent between the two countries, and that is the 2008 agreement, kind of a concordat in a way, between the Holy See and Brazil. And he said he hoped that the state would recognize that healthy secularism must not consider religion as a mere individual sentiment relegated to the private sphere, but as a reality that, being organized into visible structures, requires public recognition of its presence. And so the Pope was stressing something he has said frequently throughout his pontificate. He said it's up to the state to ensure that all religious confessions enjoy freedom of worship and the right to practice their cultural, educational, and charitable activities when these do not contrast with morality or public order. Well, you've got Christian nations who are beginning to relegate because that secular portion of a government or populace says, wait a minute, you know, keep religion in your home or inside the church, but when you go outside, kind of forget those values. And we know that can't happen. And the popes are always saying they're not trying to impose a religion, certainly not the Catholic faith, but just there are values. There are value systems that come from what we believe in, whether you start listing 10 commandments or other things we believe in. And these values should be part of our everyday life. And again, not imposing a religion, but just the values, many of which, of course, are innate in our human nature.
Well, then on Tuesday, of course, we had the celebration of the Solemnity of All Saints, where the Pope was calling on Christians to uphold the saints as models of holiness in our lives.
Exactly. And he said that in English, I know, he said that this wonderful feast, along with the commemoration of the faithful departed, speaks to us of the beauty of our faith and of the joy that awaits us in heaven when with our loved ones who have fallen asleep in Christ. Love the expression, fallen asleep in Christ. And that was a beautiful day, very, very warm day in Rome. Oh, there was a race called the Marathon. It's a 10-kilometer marathon, an annual one, and it ends in St. Peter's Square. So Via della Conciliazione was closed off and until the runners came to the square, ending their race, and then the Holy Father did speak to them. And as a matter of fact, he said, St. Paul would say that life is a race toward holiness, and you have given us a good example. But I really liked his words, and these were repeated by a lot of the media. The Pope said, we're called to see the church not in its temporal and human aspect marked by fragility, but as Christ wanted it, and that is as the communion of saints. And he said that holy men and women who've lived throughout history, whether they're canonized or not, you and I probably know very holy people or maybe our grandmothers or something. He said they demonstrate, these people, they demonstrate there are different paths to holiness, but they all had one thing in common, following Christ and conforming oneself to him. So it's wonderful how the Italians do celebrate, and maybe we'll have time later for a story, but it's a lot of wonderful cultural and social traditions linked with the feasts of All Saints and All Souls. As a matter of fact, the cemeteries here, there are special buses in Rome. Instead of a number, they have C on the front for Cimitero Cemetery. And these buses bring people in over probably about a week's time, I think they run. They bring people to and from cemeteries where they clean the graves. They bring fresh flowers to the graves. And it's kind of like a big family celebration. And you know, years ago, actually, when you take a tour of the Scavi, the catacombs under St. Peter's, the pre-Constantine necropolis, you will discover, or even if you go to the regular catacombs in Rome, your guides will tell you that people used to go on special occasions, usually the anniversary of a death or something, to the tombs of their loved ones, and they'd have like picnics. Yeah. They'd bring food, and they would, you know, talk about their loved one and remember them in stories and have little picnics and things. So
Family reunions
sure. At a tomb, exactly.
Well, going on then to Wednesday, the general audience, this is quite important. The Pope spoke about actually the G20 meeting in Cannes this week.
Yeah, November 3rd and 4th, Cannes, France on the Riviera is hosting the heads of state of the 20 most developed nations in the world. And, of course, there's this huge crisis. I'm sure all of our listeners are aware of the crisis in Greece and the threaten almost of the downfall because of this economic crisis in Greece that the rest of Europe and subsequently even then the U.S. and so forth would be affected if there was a huge euro crisis in Greece. And the prime minister has decided on his own that the first week in November, he's going to let the populace vote on the austerity measures.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But the problem is, of course, they don't want austerity measures. They were able to retire with almost a full pension at the age of 52. So obviously, the government's beginning to run out of money for people like this. Mm-hmm. And Italy's looking at its own kind of crisis, mm-hmm. probably after Greece. I think Italy is number two in that line of nations that need help. So the G20 leaders are in Cannes to kind of work on some kind of an agreement that will bring us back from the brink of the precipice. And the Pope noted that they'll be meeting to examine the principal problems linked with the world economy And he said, I hope this encounter will help in overcoming the difficulties that on a global level are an obstacle to promoting an authentically human and integral development. And anybody who's just interested in the economic well-being of their family or their country or the world is going to pray that for a successful outcome and in the days, obviously, following that event. So hopefully the leaders will use common sense, and hopefully actually the leaders of Greece will listen to the G20 suggestions.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. We'll have to close it there, Joan. We run out of time, but we do look forward to seeing you again next week to hear all about
more papal events.
Exactly. All right. Look forward to it. Bye-bye.